Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you for the breath of life, Father. We thank you for another day, Father. We thank you for allowing us to open our eyes and to take a deep breath. We thank you for this moment, Father. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We ask, Father, that you incline your ear to our prayer, Father. Father, it's a whole lot of pain going on right now, Father. And I ask, Father, that you comfort everybody according to your will and according to the manner that they need it, Father. Whether it be physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, however they need it, Father. Comfort us according to your good will. Father, we ask that you open our eyes and our ears and our minds to your word, Father, that we be not like our forefathers, forever erring and never coming to the knowledge of you, Father. Father, we ask that you just continue to grow us however it is that you need us to grow, Father. Everyone's different. Everyone needs growth in different areas, Father. We're not the same. So you grow us according to you, Father, according to your good pleasure. Father, we ask for patience, Father, wherever we need it, Father. We ask for strength wherever we need it, Father. We ask for the intellect to know the difference, Father. We ask to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, Father, when we need it, Father. Father, we just thank you. We ask that you protect our young ones, Amos, the Zakens, all of Israel, Father. Protect us as we go about our day-to-day lives. And we thank you for bringing us this far, Father. We ask that you open up your word to us once again, Father, and just reveal to us what we need to know. In Yahushua's name, give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words they were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. This your brother David Well. Here to start walking to magnify the Torah and making honorable. Started the 6 weeks my cycle that Abba has blessed me with. And today's lesson is called Judge Yourself. Israel, judge thyself. when Abba was giving this to me, so funny, one of the other names that came to mind was Israel, Mind Your Business. Because at the time when Abba was giving this to me, it seems as though we were not minding Yahweh's business. We were caught up in this world. And that's what happens with us. Number one, before we get into all that, am I coming across clear? Just shoot our brother a text. Just let me know I'm coming across clear, nothing distorted or anything. But that's what was happening. It's, see, the word says this. Say, be in this world, but not of this world. You know, and that's something that we quote a lot, you know. Togarabaki. The word says this, be in this world, but not of this world. You know, that's something that we quote a lot. But do we really understand what he's saying, you know? We live in this world. But when you say something is of something, that means it's possessed. You're showing possession, you know? Like, you know, they do what with vehicles. They have, like, special edition vehicles where they make, like, a limited number of them. So you'll have, this is car number 3 of 10. Because it's only 10 cars of this type in the world. So this is car number 3 of 10. And even though it might be because of Dodge Viper, Dodge has a Viper, right? They make a car called a Viper. But they make another Viper. It's called a Spiker. And it's only 10 of them. It's only 10 of them in the world. You know? So even though it's a Viper, in this class, it's 3 of 10, and it belongs to this class, you know. So when you say something is of something, that means it's showing possession. And even in the Hebrew language, you know, when you say something is of something, it's the yod at the end of the word, you know. So you have the word son, which is ben. But if you want to say my son, which is showing possession, or son of whatever, you put the yod at the end, the hand showing possession, you know. But that's what happens with Israel, you know. We get caught up in this world, and it's possessing us, you know, to the point where, and you know, and this is not something that but because it came across the board on a lot of things. You see Israel getting caught up in a lot of things, you know, the whole thing with George Floyd, you know, all this stuff was going on around the world. And, you know, it was something to pay attention to a little bit. But after you paid attention to it, back to Abba work, you know, because the truth of the matter is the stuff that happened with him, the stuff that happened with George Floyd was happening all around the world at the same time. You know, that's why it garnered so much attention. It's something happened in France with a black man that where he died in the hands of police in much of the same way that George Floyd did, you know, around the same time. You know, to the point where the whole police department quit in France because they wanted to use the chokehold. You know, they wanted to use the chokehold, and the police, the French government said, you're not allowed to use this chokehold to subdue people anymore. So the entire police department quit because they could not use the chokehold. After that, the French government said, well, look, let's step back away from this. And since you can't use the chokehold, what we're going to do, we're going to allow you to tase people. So they got the people, they got the cops tasers now, which is just as dangerous, you know. But you have all these things going on, and everybody paying attention. But is anybody paying attention to the work that Yahweh is doing? You know? What about all these locusts everywhere that's eating up everything? What about these dust storms that's kicking up every year? The Sahara, the dust from the from Africa reaches America, but this year it's as heaviest as it's ever been. The locusts are eating up more crops, and say this is the biggest locust storm, the biggest locust swarms that they've seen in 70 years. These are things that Yahweh is doing within the world. Are we paying attention to that? You know? So, let's look at something. Let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And don't get me wrong when I say what I'm saying. Look at some of the things in the world, but don't let it capture you. You know, don't let it capture you that, you know, now you got Israelites joining the Black Lives Matter movement. Hold up, what about the work of Yahweh? What about that? It says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die. Time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So, if everything has a time, and right now we're in this captivity, isn't there a time for us to be captive and a time for us to be free? We didn't get to the free time yet. If there is a time for everything that is appointed underneath this sun. See, Yahweh appointed a time for us to be captives. See, but we yelling freedom. We want freedom. We want freedom. And we're willing to do and we're willing to get behind anybody who has this idea of freedom. But it's not, it can't be just anybody that frees us from this. It can't be the Black Lives Matter movement who's going out here burning down buildings and doing all the things that they're doing, kicking up, rioting, and this, that, and another. That's not going to get us free. It's not going to be amassing arms and going marching down on the different state capitals and this, that, and another, demanding our freedom. With guns and this, that, and another, because, you know, our white counterparts, they can get down to the state capitol without getting shot. You know, us, they just had a big thing down in Atlanta where you have all these, and it was Israelites. It was a bunch of Israelites with all these guns they had, assault rifles, shotguns, and this, that, and another, and they amassed. In a big got in the area because they said the KKK was coming. So to show we ain't scared, we got this, we got all these guns and this, that, and another, and we're gonna amass right where the KKK at. The KKK never showed up. So you got all these Israelites on TV on the interview. Then they say, well, why are you bringing all these guns? Wait a minute. The KKK said they were showing up. You ain't talking to the KKK and this, that, and another. But Okay. What was the point in the end? You know? What was the point in the end? Because the point ain't to get the KKK. The point is to get you. And the more that they know about you, the easier it is to get you. One of the things that the FBI do before they get a person, they build that case. They know everything about you. They go so far as to take your garbage, steal your garbage, because you might have threw some bills away. You might have had some type of evidence that they can use against you, you know, in your garbage. Never mind phone taps and wiretaps and this, that, and another. But they'll go so far to learn everything about you. The information gathering. And every time that we get on the TV, and I'm talking about people who represent, or quote unquote, represent Yahweh, you give them more and more information about you. But what if you with the word say, there's a time to keep silent and a time to speak? Well, let's do what we're supposed to do and serve Yahweh. Be as smart as serpents, gentle as doves. But you have to judge yourself. You have to judge yourself and see that. See, because we're looking for a deliverer. Well, let's look at the book of Judges, chapter 3. We're looking for somebody to get us out of this mess. All right. Judges chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, now these are the nations which Yahweh left to prove Israel by them, even as many as Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan. So y'all remember, the elders of Israel, that first generation had to die off. He walked them around in the wilderness till all of them died off. Except for Yahushua and Caleb. They was the only two that crossed over because the word said they had a different spirit. Right? So now, these are the kids that grew up. They didn't know the wars of Canaan. They didn't know. But Yahweh still has to prove these men. Still have to prove them. These men and these women. He has to prove Israel. All right? This is how he's proving them. Verse 2, he says, only the generations of the children of Israel, only that the generations of the children of Israel, or the sons of Israel, might know to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing of. Now, this word for war, number 4421, this word is milkama, and it means just that, a battle, generally war, means fight to engage. Comes from another word, which is number 3898. This word is lakam, and it means lakam, same words. It's the word to fight, and also the word for bread, right? It means to feed on, figuratively to consume, by implication to battle, right? So you have lakam, and you have Milkama. So what they did was just put a mem in front of the word lakam, right? Now, we discussed before what the mem does. when it does that, right? So it goes from a battle to a place of battle, right? You're going from the actual physical battle, the actual physical fighting, to a place of fighting. So where is the place of fighting? Where is these wars taking at? Where is it happening? Right? Because you have the actual physical war, but is Yahweh worrying about the physical war? What is Yahweh fighting for? What is he trying to teach us? When he says this generation of children, they didn't know the wars of Canaan. But now he's teaching them where the fighting really is taking place. The fighting is really taking place in your mind. This is the battleground. The battleground is your mind. He's teaching where the fighting is at, right? This is what he wants to prove to Israel, right? So he says in verse 2 again, he said, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing of. Verse 3, namely, 5 lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and all the Sidonites and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hamon unto the entering in of Hamath. So, here are your enemies. You got 5 of the Philistines. Philistines, number 6430. It says, immigrants. Comes from another word, number 6429. The word is Pelaseth, and it means rolling, that is migratory. So this is where they came from. Get there from immigrants, because immigrants are people that move around, right? That's what an immigrant is. They move from land to land. So the first thing that he wants you to know, your enemy is going to be on the move. It's not a stationary battle. And think about it. Think about when you're going through stuff, how your mind jumps from here to there, thought to thought, moving around, right? Canaanites, number 3669. It says, it comes from another word, number 3667, Canaan, which means humiliated, which comes from 3665, it means to bend the knee, to humiliate. So sometimes, as we said before, that's the purpose of it. I have brought you to the place of the Canaanites. So you got this war going on, and this war is to subdue your mind. The Canaanites are here. You got to take their spot. You got to take a spot of humility. The Sidonians, and these are your enemies now, because remember, sometimes these enemies come, it's like we talked before, about the stork and the gear bird. God, watch how it's coming. Because sometimes that evil thought can come in a humble manner. Same way those evil demons can come lovingly. They can come motherly-like. So be careful of the stuff that you entertain. It's just like, and we got a good example of that, where in the book of Job. See, because Job's friends came to chide him But they did it in a manner like you know, Joe, my boy, you know. But they came over there to chat him. They came over there to rub salt in the wounds. But they did it in a manner that was very deceptive, really, you know, Joe going through it, like they're caring about him. The Zidonians, number 6722. This word, these people, it comes from number 6721. It says hunting. It says from 6679, in the sense of catching a fish. So it comes from the words number 6679 is zoo, which means to hunt, or to zod, which means to hunt. So again, you got people moving around. And think about why he named them this way. You got the immigrants, the migratory people, right? Then you got the Canaanites. It's coming in a humble manner. But then you got the Zidonians. They're hunting. And think about an actual hunter. A hunter has to get low to the ground. It has to be very quiet. It has to act like it's not a threat in order to kill what it's trying to kill. It has to. You can't be a threat to a deer if you're out deer hunting. You got to be real still. You got to be real. You can't even stand downwind from them, because if a deer catch your scent, it's alerted. It's on high alert, and you're not going to get a shot off. So think about the skills it takes to be a hunter. And these are the people that Yahweh is using to prove us. Right? And it says, last one, the Hivites. Number 2340. It says, a villager. Comes from 2333, which means a life-giving place, as Kava, a life-giving place, a village, a town, or a tent, or a village. So basically, they try to set up shop. All right? When the spirit is expelled out of a man, he said the house is swept and gone. He said that spirit goes out, can't find a place of rest. It goes out and finds seven other spirits more wicked than him and returns back to that place. In other words, these spirits are trying to set up shop within us. That's what they want to do. And this is what Yahweh wants us to know. Right? How can these spirits set up shop within us? By, number one, various ways. We are supposed to believe the man of Yahweh. That's what we're supposed to believe. Our history has shown that we have not believed the man of Yahweh, and we always followed the man who did not represent Yahweh but wanted to cater to our opinion. Said the smooth things, as the words say. Said the stuff that we liked. We believed the charismatic speaker, the eloquent ones, the ones who catered to our feelings. We didn't want to hear that this right here that we're living in right now, 2020, is a product of us disobeying our Father, disobeying His commandments. And the only way that we're going to get out of it is if we turn our hearts and our minds back to Yahweh. Then he will raise up a deliverer. See, but that's the thing. This is a time where it's ordained. He has to do it, and he has to prove it. And why nothing has changed? We're not proving ourselves. We're not proving ourselves. He says, namely, the five lords of the Philistines and the Canaanites and the Zidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon and Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in Hamath. Verse 4, he says, and they were to prove Israel by them to know whether they were hearkening unto the commandments of Yahweh, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moshe. Plain and simple. Why you keep on going through this? Why do police brutality keep on happening? Why do black-on-black crime keep on happening? Why do pimping and the drug abuse and all these different things, that all these different atrocities that happen to black people, the unfair justice, why? Because we will not hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh, which he commanded by our father, by the hands of Moses. Plain and simple. That's why. That's why. Moshe said, pick men of renown, pick men who you know are going to have to pick men who don't desire filthy lucre, so to speak. Pick men of character. And these are the people that you're supposed to lead with. These are the people that's supposed to judge the people. These are the people who you bring your problems to. They the ones. Not these men who's out here campaigning, because they want the position. They want it. They want the glory. They want the fame. They want the bribes. They want these positions of power. They desire it. And they're going to do anything to have it and anything to keep it. But then you wonder why these laws are so corrupt and why they don't benefit the people. Because the people put all these crooked people and say, govern us. Govern us, crooked man. We love your unjust scales. We love your unjust balances. That's what they're saying. You're not doing what Moshe said. Moshe said, get these men who you know are going to be trustworthy. And let them govern you. Don't go out here and get the most corrupt man and then give him a badge and a gun and say, police people. But we do just the opposite. As long as he can run a mile in under XYZ time, well, he's allowed to police the people. It doesn't matter if he has a psychiatric issue. It doesn't matter if he has daddy issues or mommy issues, you know. So if he sees something, he automatically jumps at it. It doesn't matter that he hates people just based on the color of their skin. None of that matters. Gives him a badge and gives him a gun and tell him to uphold the law. Telling the crooked man to uphold the law. So he says, verse 5, he said, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Again, we're in enemy territory. He got us amongst the enemy territory. Now, if you look up this word, among, right, number 7130, right, that word is Kareb, and it means the closest he dwelt near, the nearest part. It's the same word that they, excuse me, we're dwelling real near to the Canaanites, the Perizzites. These are the people that are near to us. Why are we keeping them people near to us? For what? For what reason? We're in the middle, we're in the midst of these people. And what happens to a person when they're near to you? What happens to you when you're near a person? They rub off on you. That's what happens to you. You start to... And we were talking, and he always says, make a short story shorter. That's one of his sayings. And sometimes I found myself saying that because we were around each other so much that his saying actually rubbed off on me. But that's what happens when you're around people. So now around people, you pick up their habits. But these are people who don't have the habits of Yahweh. So what's happening to Israel? See? We stay in the impure state because we keep impure things around us. You know, and then sometimes we have to. Hold your finger there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Because we're in the impure state constantly. We have impure things around us constantly. Even at the time this was written, Rome was in charge. Rome was in charge. Israel was still in a captured state. Still. So it's this. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. In other words, judge yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Look at you. Look at yourself, Israel. Do you really think going out there marching is going to help? They did that already. Do you really think stockpiling guns is going to help? They did that already. See, what we see it on TV, and it gets, it riles up our feelings, and we feel as though this, that, and another, it grabs at our emotions. But don't let your emotions override the fact that Yahweh said, wait on him. Yahweh said, this is the time we have to endure. You got to endure to the end, the words say. Well, what about those who sigh and cry for the abominations that's being committed in the earth? Yeah. You know how you sigh and cry and for that? By obeying Torah. When you continue to obey Torah, that's what you're doing. You're sighing, you're crying, because you're wishing other people would obey Torah. I'm not saying don't have a heart for the little girl that got killed with, for the little 3-year-old girl that got killed with her mother and she was pregnant. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is don't get so focused and riled up on that that it takes your mind off of Torah. See, because you got some Israelites that want to seek revenge for that. They want that, man. Now, all kinds of human stuff kick in. You hear all kinds of crazy things kick in when people, quote unquote, lose their religion. You know, we as Israel, like, we can't get caught up in that. We can't. We can't get caught up in the things of this world. We can't keep on, we can't. Something else is going to happen to somebody black next week. It'll be all over the news. Then what? It happens to us all the time. Not that long ago, they found people being lynched. That was in the news amongst all the other things that was going on. You know, they lynched some people down in Mississippi, I think. One of them, somewhere in the South. Found some people hanging. Black people. That was among some of the things that was going on. I'm not saying it's an easy pill to swallow, but obviously you got to swallow this and wait on me. You got to endure to the end, Israel. I'm going to have you in the midst of them. Why? Y'all didn't want to listen to me. Y'all had freedom. I removed your enemies from you. And what did you do? Forget about me. So he says, back in 2 Corinthians 13, say, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. In other words, look at your life. Because, wow, you got all this filth around. Are you still on course? Are you still moving the way Abba wants you to move? Or are you starting to get on that crooked path? Are you stepping off the path? You know? Because it don't take much. Straight and narrow is the path. You know? It's a real cracked area. So it don't take much to get you off that path. He said, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Yahushua HaMashiach is in you, except you be reprobates. Why do we feel the way we feel? Why do we think, and you know, I'm guilty of this too sometimes, but then, you know, I'm going to bring me out that rut. Father, I don't think you're talking to me. Father, I feel this way. Father, yeah, okay, boy. I got you. Pick you right up. You know? Because we get like that. But that's the thing. It's not just on Yahweh. It's on us. We got a part to play too. He says, prove your own self. Prove to yourself that Yahushua is in you. Know you not your own selves. You know? Start looking at yourself. We are co-laborers. It was something that Abba put on my mind a little bit right before Blog Talk started, right? He made this earth. And this is just, in my mind, it's just his mercy. He made this earth. And within it, the earth sustains itself. You know, the wind blows, it blows seeds, the trees get planted, and they just naturally regrow. Everything, when it just naturally regrows within itself, it sustains itself, water itself, it sustains it. But then, in his mercy, he said, I'm going to make a man to till the ground. What do you got to till the ground for? It's already reproducing on its own. But to help the earth out, he made a man to till the ground. And then he said, man, you need help too. And there's nothing suitable on this earth to help you. So guess what? I'm going to give you a woman. In his mercy, that's what he did. Because he didn't want the earth to work alone. And then he didn't want that man to work alone. You know? That's the God we serve. So verse 5, he says, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Verse 6, and they took their daughters to be wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Again, was they supposed to do this? No, but you're among them. You're near them. They're close to you. So the Canaanites, the humble ones, they're not so bad because they're humble, you know. But then you have this next one. Number 2850 in the Strongs, the Hittite or the Kitti, which is, wrong button. It comes from a word, number 2845, ha, which means terror. These people are a terror to you, but you're still giving your daughters and your sons to them. You're still in covenant with them, right? These next people, the Amori, number 567, the sayers, the speakers. Right, the ones who have the quote unquote gift of gab, but these are your enemies. But you're giving your daughters to them, you're giving your sons to them, you're in covenant with them. The Perizzites, number 6522, the people with the people from an open country, an unwalled city. Right? No protection. You're giving your walk, you're giving your daughters to these people. The Hivites, again, these people we looked at earlier. The Hivites, they're the villagers. And the Jebusites, these are people we already talked about. The threshing place. The people that were stomped on. They'll start on you. But these are the people that we are in covenant with. The same people that Abba said, don't give your daughters to. Don't be in covenant with these people. Right? He says, why? They took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. Verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and forgot Yahweh, their mighty one, and served Baalim and the groves. Now, the groves, when you look it up, number 842, that word, Asherah. It's funny, Yahweh just got finished talking about this particular deity. Asherah. So this is who they serve. This is who our people serve to this day. The many Baalim and The queen. Mer. Queen Hat. And it's funny because when you think of somebody who hated black people, see, the Catholic Church up until 1975 said black people couldn't be saved at all because they didn't have a soul. Up until 1975. We just got souls back in 1975. And the Catholic Church just started saving you. Anybody who was Catholic before then, oops, anybody who was Catholic before then that was black couldn't be saved. You could serve, but you couldn't be saved. Anyway, verse 8, he says, therefore the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rithamim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushan-Rithamim 8 years. Now, Cushan-Rithamim, it's a compound word, and it means, it's from 3573, and this is who we serve, and so we got served, sold to. It says it's the dual. It means double wickedness or twice wicked Kushan. Now, it's funny because Kushan, now you got twice wicked, that's the with the knee. Now, Kushan is number 3572. It's their blackness, and it comes from Cush, which means, which is 3568. Yeah, 3568, which means the Ethiopian or black. That's what Cush means. So he sold you into a double wicked black man. That's who you got, sir, and you got, sir. He sold you to Farrakhan. He sold you to what's his name, T.D. Jakes. He sold you to Jevaal Bryant and all these double wicked black men that promise you salvation and a relationship with the Most High. He sold you to the flea sheepers. Why? That's what you wanted. The double wicked black man. He sold you to Pookie and Ray Ray. Because Pookie and Ray Ray can do whatever they want in the hood. No impunity. They can shoot, stab, whatever. You ain't telling. He sold you that. You know, he sold you to. This is what you got sold to. All because you don't want to obey me. But yet you're going to still cry out to Yahweh, why won't the crime stop? Why won't the crime stop? Well, there you go. You ain't doing nothing to stop it. But you want peace. You know? But this is what, see, and that's the conundrum that we're in. He told us why, and that's all we got to do is turn. See, it don't matter how many guns you get. It don't matter. It don't matter how much marching you do. It don't matter how much crying out the city hall you do. Because until you turn your hearts back, or your hearts back, it don't make a difference. That's the one who is bringing the deliverer. He's the one who promised to deliver you. Right? City hall didn't promise to deliver you. Smith & Wesson definitely ain't promised to deliver you. We're asking all the wrong people. Right? So, he says, therefore the anger of Yahweh was hot and is hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Verse 9. Now here's the kicker. And when the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer. Let me repeat that. Yahweh raised up a deliverer. We didn't go pick the deliverer. Yahweh raised up the deliverer. That's who got to do it. It's not of our choosing. Because we want to keep on following these people. Jamal Bryant going to deliver us. Oh, what's his name? Umar Johnson going to deliver us. Who's the guy with the... not Garrett Morgan. Haile Selassie. He's going to deliver us. This man's going to... All these people are going to deliver us. Mm-mm. It's not until Yahweh raised up the deliverer that deliverance comes. Right? He says... And Yahweh raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Why is it Caleb's line that's doing some delivering? Why? See, he was one of the ones who had a different spirit. Joshua, Caleb, they was the only two that made it over. Them two. From out that old generation. And this new comes from Caleb's line. Just happened to be his little brother. You think he learned something from his big brother? Now, Othniel. Now, this is... Bear with me for a second, y'all. See... Because this is where we, me and Mr. Strong's get into a little, disagreement. Because Mr. Strong says Othniel's name means lion of El. But I kind of disagree with him. Now, let me say this. I don't know exactly what it means. All right. But I was looking for all right, the root of his name is Ayin Tov Nun. And I was looking for that word, Ayin Tov Nun. Right? That word does not exist within the Strong's. It's, I think it's one of those what they call unused roots. It only exists within this name and another name, which is let me go get that name for you while I look before we go any further. All right. The name of his other name is Uthni, right? And it says lion or lion of Uthni is my lion. Right, but Othniel is, they say, lion of El. Now, let me go back, because Uthni, in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 7, it says, the sons of Shemaiah, Uthni, Raphael, and Obed, Elzabah, whose brother was strong, meant Elihu and Semiach, right? So his name is in these guys' lineage. And if you read at the top, 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1, says, concerning the division of the porters, right? So he goes on, because we've been through this, he goes on to name the porters, and these are the porters, and he happens to be in the line of the porters, people who did the work around the temple. So you have Uthni in that line, and we never find out, you know, because the Iron Tav Nun combination isn't anywhere in scripture, right? So we was going through this, and this is how Abba led me. Because we know how Hebrew words are formed, right? Parent root, two-letter root, and then you either double it or you add a consonant in between. So it can only be one of three roots, all right? But each one of these roots is showing what our deliverer will be doing. Now, root number one. This is the Ayin Nun. Ayin Nun. It means watching continuously. A watchful eye. Also means see the seed. Now it says, all right, the pictograph of an eye and the picture of the nun, see, representing continuance. Combined, these mean eye of continuance. The nomadic agriculturist carefully watches over his livestock and crops by keeping a close eye on them. It was come to construct a shelter, consisting of a roof or four posts and a shelter from the glare of the sun. So, but think about this. In order for a deliverer to come about, one, he has to see the seed and he has to watch continuously. Wow. Isn't that what the priests do? That's what the priests do. Watch continuously, also see the seed. We are responsible for the flock, right? So, next one. This is, I'm going to save that one. We're going to look at that one last. Okay, that's the same one. Maybe go. I don't know. Okay, Tav Nun. Now, the Tav Nun means mark continuously, or it says path continues, because when they say path, because of what a mark is, like you have to walk along a path to get to a certain mark, or you're creating a path to get to a mark, right? That's why it says path, but or mark continues, or the mark of the seed, right? A patient and continuous movement, it says, constant. A donkey is a patient and constant animal. So you think about a donkey, a beast of burden. It goes on a path, and it follows the path constantly. It's not as fast as a horse, but it has a speed because it's constant. But also think about this. The mark of the seed. What's the mark of the seed? Do you not know that Messiah is in you? Do you not know yourselves? Can't you? See, this is something that a deliverer is going to know. He's going to understand who he is. Paul said, look, I got this mission from the Messiah. I didn't have to go up to Jerusalem and talk to nobody. And there was no disrespect to Peter, Paul, anybody. But he understood exactly who he was And he understood exactly what Messiah told him to do. He got it. You know, he knew what, he knew exactly what to do. Right? And this last one, the Ayin Tov. Now, this is the one. Ayin Tov. See the mark. But it says time. This is, and when it says this right here is related to time, it says a period of time as a moment. As a moment or season. So think about you staring at something, right? Perfect example. Have you ever watched the moon move? You know, you see the moon up in the sky. That's your mark. Come back 10, 15 minutes later, it's in a different spot. Maybe a half an hour. It's in a different spot. It didn't move. But that's that time frame. Now, come here. It's a switch. But here's the important thing. It says Yahweh is going to raise up this deliverer, right? It's going to take time to do that. This man isn't just going to jump up and say, time to be delivered. No, it's not. You have to give Abba time. Remember, it is a time and season for everything underneath the sun. It's a time when Yahweh has to prepare a man. And then it's a time for Yahweh to go forth and for that man to go forth and for Yahweh to go forth too. But it's a time that he gets prepared and it's a time he's sent forth. All right? Yahushua had the disciples. He didn't say, follow me, and then the next thing he said, okay, y'all here, time to go. Go out there, give them the word. No, he fed those men first with that word. He prepared them before he even thought about sending them out. Why? I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. He understood that, and he said... Deliverance ain't going to happen overnight. Uthniel ain't going to appear overnight. A man has to be prepared. Whoever Yahweh is raising up, he has to prepare them first. He has to. You know, my brother said, you know, last night that he was talking about Elijah and how he prayed. Right? It wasn't just his first prayer. That caused it not to rain. No, he kept on praying. Father, don't let my word fall to the ground. Stop this rain. Father, don't let my word fall to the ground. Stop it. He just kept on going to Yahweh about it. Why? He wanted that to happen. And look, okay, now I'm going to make it happen. That's what he did. It took time for that to happen. It wasn't just like the brother said last night. It wasn't just one prayer and it was done. Nah, it took time. And that's the one thing that we don't do. We are so impatient. We want Abba to get it. We want it right now. Father, you know my thoughts from afar off, the words say. And it's true. He does know our thoughts from afar off. All right? But we still have to give him time. You know? No. Again, that's what's going on with Uthniel, the son of Caleb. He has to raise up the deliverer. He has to. Right? Verse 10. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And Yahweh delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, not the people that you picked. Not the people that you picked. It's the one that Yahweh raised up. That's who's going to win. That's who you follow. That's who you support. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. But we know the story. Verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of Yahweh. So, soon as the man off the scene, what happened? Back to fun and games. Why? Why? As soon as the man is off, as soon as Yahweh takes this man off of the scene, what we do? Right back to Black Lives Matter, right back to supporting whatever it is, that is right back to everybody's business outside of Yahweh. And then what happens? The evil again in the sight of Yahweh, and Yahweh strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of Yahweh, right back on the hamster wheel. Right back. Right? And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm tree. So again, as soon as the man's off the scene, what happened? Yahweh said, "Oh, fine. Y'all not paying me attention. Y'all doing evil in my eyes. Move the hedge. Remove the hedge. That's it. Give them what they want." Here come Eglon and his people. And again, it's not just Moab. Moab went and got Amalek and Ammon. They come in deep. It's not just one thing. So it's not just the city police stomping on you. Now you got the county and the State Department. So it's not just Pookie and Ray Ray. See, because now it went from Pookie and Ray Ray to now they got Bloods and Crips in Baltimore. Bloods and Crips was not, that's a West Coast thing. But guess what's in Baltimore now? Bloods and Crips, BGF, everything that, everything that is anti-Yahweh is coming for Israel. Trying to destroy it. Not by itself. It strengthened itself against them. It strengthens it. When that spirit goes out, it don't come back by itself. We should have gave that to us in that parable. And that's it's something we're not paying attention to. It's not coming back by itself. It's going to get seven other spirits more wicked than them, more wicked than itself. It was already wicked. And now he's going to get some people more wicked than them. And they coming back. Then he says the estate of that first, the state that man was in the first time is worse. He says his last estate was worse than the first. That's what he said. The state that you're in the beginning, at the end, is worse than the first. So now they went from killing 18, 19-year-olds to killing 14, 15-year-olds to killing 3-year-olds and pregnant women. The state that we're in is worse than what we were. They called my generation Generation X because they was, at the time, they was out there, they was, 90s, they were murdering crazy. But now Baltimore is to a point where, you know, at one point it might have been 100 some odd murders 20 years ago. Now they're almost up to a murder a day. 300 some odd murders every year consistently. Consistently. I don't think we've been under 300 murders in at least 5 years. Consistently. This is the norm now. You know? He says, and the children of Israel did evil again. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh strengthened Eglon and the king of Moab against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of Yahweh. And he gathered unto them the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. Verse 14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh, Yahweh raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. A Benjaminite. And it's funny because the word Gera, number 16:17, right? It says it's Gera, which is a grain, right? Now, it also says from 16:26, Gera, which is a weight, probably like a kernel. Now, people think about a grain, right? Or better yet, that's what a kernel. That ain't nothing but another way of saying a seed. When you talk about a grain or something, that's nothing but the seed. A kernel or something, that's the seed. You pop the little kernel off a piece of corn, plant it, that's a seed. That's how it reproduces itself. So you got the seed, and this man's name is, what's his name? Ehud, right? But he's a Benjamite. He's from the son of my right hand. This is who's going to deliver him, a Benjamite. So first you got the man, Caleb's little brother, who got a different spirit, and then he says, a Benjamite? These are the people you're supposed to be looking for, right? He says, by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Verse 16. But who made him a dagger, which had two edges. He made him a two-edged sword, right? Which had two edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right eye. So not only did he possess that two-edged sword, right? But he got it on his right thigh. I mean, he walking with it. He walking with that word. It says, and he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silent. And all that stood by him went out from him. And who came unto him? And he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And who said, I have a message from Elohim unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And who put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right hand and thrust it into his belly. And the half also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then who went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked it? When he had gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covers his feet in the summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their master was falling down dead on the earth. And who escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped unto Sirath. And it came to pass when he come that he blew the trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for Yahweh hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand, And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan towards Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor. And they escaped, and they escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 40 years. Now, are we going to do a physical battle? No. Some of our Hebrew Israelite brothers think that. I'm just going to offer this as proof why we should. We were looking at some of the things that, some of the proofs of 9/11. These dudes hit the Pentagon with a missile. They shot the Pentagon with a missile, a bunker buster, as they called it. They have no problem shooting their own with a missile. You cannot combat a missile. I'm just saying like that. You can't combat a tank. You can't combat the weaponry that they have physically. But Yahweh said that our weapons are not physical weapons. They're spiritual. And that's the war that we're interested in winning, because that's the battleground. So Israel, judge yourselves. Are we going to stay stuck in this world and doing as Yahushua said, the cares of this world? Are we going to continue to be of this world, belonging to this world? Sure, we're in a spot, but Yahweh told us what to do. He told us what to do. Turn our hearts back to him. Bad things are going to happen to people. And let me say this, in no way, shape, or form, and I don't mean this in any disrespect, all right? Me personally, I'm not interested in black unity, okay? I'm not. I'm interested in the unification of Yisrael, all right? Personally. Well, how can you say that, Dave? Well, Yahweh told the house of Judah not to bother with the house of Israel. He told them that. He told them that. All right? We read that even in Chronicles or Kings, I believe. He told the house of Judah not to bother with the house of Israel. Why? There was so much corruption going on with Israel. He was trying to save Judah. And eventually, the corruption of Israel did get to the house of Judah. See, but that's the thing. All black people ain't trying to serve Yahweh. They're not. You know? All black people, you know, all white people ain't trying to serve y'all. We should be interested in the people who want to serve and want to be with Yahweh. That's what the unification is, you know, because we have to be reuniting with Yahweh. And believe me, we will be able to tell. Yahweh will give us that discernment. All right? He'll give us that discernment. As long as we're submissive to his will, we'll see those who are trying to serve our heavenly Father. You know, we'll see it. It'll be quite evident, just like it's quite evident to those who see us. You know? Or my old job, not so much, not my new one. You know, my brother Mariel goes camping every year. And my old job, they know I've been camping every year. It's a religious thing. They know that's how we serve our Father. They see that. And they mark it.
So it's not coincidental. They know that. You know, it's certain things they know. They know it's Quran, they come to Quran, but they know. They know these different things. So people take notes.
So it's not like they're going to not know. Well, we'll know the same thing. You know, those who are truly trying to serve Yahweh and those who fake him the phone. You know, those who are trying to come around just to debate and try to match wits. Because I ain't got time for wit matches. You know, those who are trying to just come in and just, oh, we know this and we know. No, look, that's not for us. Not for us. If you have something on the table that can better us and Yahweh is leading and guiding you some way, that's great. You know, that's great. If Yahweh showed you something that is beneficial to us, great. You know, we're missing something, great. You got a question and you don't, great. But just to show that you're, okay. So how about now? But just trying to show that you're what you know, that's something totally different. All right. So family, that's the end of this first class. May we all just get back on. If we fall off, you know, not being of this world, you know, not being of this world and just being about our business, you know, let's not get caught up in the cares of this world, you know. So if there's any questions or comments, send them on the line and we'll get to them and answer them as quickly as possible. All right? So, blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origins unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Once again, we thank you for the breath of life, Father. We thank you for this time that you have appointed for us, the Shabbat, this day that you have made for us. Father, we thank you for allowing us just to come before your presence, Father. We thank you for all the things that you've done for us for this week. Thank you for your protections, your blessings, your lessons, our failures, our wins. We thank you for everything, Father. We know all this works for your glory. There's things that you want us to know. And again, you are growing us the way you want us to grow. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us throughout this week. Protect our minds, protect our bodies, protect our spirits, Father, our emotions. Allow us to see through your eyes, Father. Allow us to use your wisdom. Allow us to hear through your ears. Father, continue to bless and protect all the kids, anybody who is ailing physically, mentally, spiritually, Father. Heal them according to your good will, Father. Allow us to see another Shabbat, Father, that we may come and sup with you again. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Amen.
Royalty. Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand. Word inside my heart. And pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood, yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? You let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark, into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Chosen people,
royal priesthood. Royalty, royalty, royal, royal. One point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people.